Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Permaculture Podcast. I'm back from my teacher training in Oregon, and I want to give you a bit of a review of what that class was like, including some information about the site, the teachers, a little bit about the curriculum and some things that I took away from that, and then what my big lessons were from the class, and answer a few questions along the way. Before we get started with that, though, I want to remind you, please like the show on Facebook, facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast. It'll help get the numbers out and spread the word. Also, check out the website, thepermaculturepodcast.com. I'm constantly posting new information up there about permaculture, at least a couple a week. So if you're looking for training opportunities, if you want to see what's going on in the news, in the world of permaculture, anything like that, stop by the website and see what's up. Also, email me, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you and know what's going on in your part of the woods. Also, if you're listening to this, you have an interest in permaculture, maybe you're practicing, or you've got a particular teacher who you think the world should hear more from, please let me know. I'd like to set up some more interviews with folks so that I can get more information on the ground about what's going on. Overall, I can say that it was a great training. I had a good time while I was there. I'm still processing a lot of the info, though. There was a good bit that was passed on to us, and it's probably going to take me months, if not years, to really get all this going through my brain. As I begin, I want to just let you know that the Pacific Northwest is ridiculously beautiful. I couldn't believe Western Oregon. I flew into Eugene on a Saturday just early enough that I could pick up a rental car and drive over to Florence and get to see the sun set on the ocean. Might not sound like that big of a deal, but I live here on the East Coast where I have plenty of opportunity in my life to watch the sun rise over the Atlantic, but I've never got to watch the sun touch down into the ocean. And this was one of those things that I had on my bucket list, one of those things that I wanted to do before I died, and I finally got to do that. But I drove out to Florence, took some time finding out where there was a nice beach, parked, and then walked out and got to put my feet in the ocean, feel the waters of the Pacific, which were much colder than I was expecting for the summer, and then just sit on the beach and watch the sunset. I took some pictures of it, and I stayed there until the sun finally disappeared against the horizon. Once I was done on the beach, I went and I checked into the town of Florence. It's a cute little town, and I had dinner at a place called Moe's. If you're ever out there, I highly recommend it. The food was good, and compared to prices here on the East Coast, it was very affordable. All in all, I've got to say, this is my first night in Oregon, that area. It really set the tone for the rest of the class. It had me in a good mood and made the rest of the week a lot easier, just carried through for the rest of my time there. In addition to that beauty, there's also the class site. It was comfortable, cool, it didn't rain. Though there was some misting and dampness, overall it was a nice break from the heat and humidity that was enveloping the East Coast when I left for the trip. All around us we were surrounded by gardens, had some great campsites that we could set up in that were all, even the more community-oriented campsites were still just private enough that you could sit back and relax and be a little bit away from everyone else that was going on. I happened to share a little clearing with another fellow for our camp spaces, but it was nice. And then outside that garden area we were surrounded by some older forests with these very tall conifers. From the description that I got, it's like 30 more years and portions of that forest will be old growth because it'll have trees that are 200 years old. Again, compared to the East Coast and the Appalachians, which I've kind of gotten a little bit comfortable with, it was a really pretty place to be, though I can say thankfully that it kind of helped resensitize me to the beauty that I have here of my home, and when I got home I was able to look at it with fresh eyes and really see how nice it is. But I could wax on and on about how beautiful this was. Let's get to some of the material about this class. I'm going to start with the teachers. The teachers for this course were awesome. Jude Hobbs, Andrew Millison, and Rico Zook were really good teachers. They were all knowledgeable in their own way, had their unique presentation styles, and together made for a pretty powerful educational experience. Jude was really great because she's been doing this work since the early to mid-80s, and it shows in a really good way. Her role as a facilitator and teacher is very refined, and her ability to be on, active in that role as a teacher throughout the whole experience was really impressive. From the conversations we had, a residential permaculture course like this one can be really intense. And I'm not going to say that our class was no exception, but we were able to be pretty much in tune and in touch with each other, which made it a lot smoother than I would have expected. And Jude pointed that out in some of her anecdotes about how, as a teacher, you may have to handle a class in a residential setting and deal with the different personalities and the different people who come to it. And that really came through. Her anecdotes and the details showed that her knowledge and experience was nearly encyclopedic and helped to fill in the little dips and spots where we had questions about these small, minute portions of how to handle this material. And as this class was held at her home, this beautiful site that we had in Cottage Grove, I was further blown away that she could manage all the details so well for putting on this class. And what I mean is that several of us had dietary restrictions, mine being among the most severe, but they were all met easily and without concern. And in some ways, I felt that she and the other members of the course went out of their way to make sure that I would remain safe and healthy throughout this process. I mean, I read food labels like crazy when they're available, but in this case, there were a couple that the cook hadn't left or didn't leave information about, so went and actually called back the chef who prepared all of our food for us to get label information and review that information with me to make sure that it was safe. And further, any foods that were put on the table were clearly marked what was gluten-free, what wasn't gluten-free, what was vegetarian, what was vegan, what wasn't, and made everyone's dietary choices much easier. And something else that was really small that I liked about it was that after we'd set up camp, each of us was given a solar LED light that we could place near our tent to mark it, which also made it easier not only to find it at night, but also to help other people not trip over us as they were coming and going. Obviously, with 10 people participating plus the 3 instructors, there was a lot of movement even in the early morning and into the evening. So something like those lights made it much simpler to move around. And I could go on and on for hours about how comfortable and enjoyable the learning experience is with Jude, but I'll leave it with that she's an amazing instructor. Next in our lineup is Andrew Millison, and I found that he had a more technical and refined style than Jude. Hers was more relaxed and informal, while his was formal, at least for about the first half of the course. His experience as a college instructor came through as he readily flipped between the roles of professor and colleague, which reminded me of one of my favorite college professors from my undergrad experience. And it's that we were always treated as his equal, but because his role was to educate us, he would step into that role of teacher, fulfill our needs, and then step back out of it to colleague again. And once we were out of the classroom, especially as we got comfortable as a group, he felt like an old friend, full of stories to fill in the times since that we haven't seen each other, wanting to hear the tales of your own time gone by that brought you down this road and into this space. And that banter back and forth reinforced that confidence, I think, within the group that this was a safe learning experience. It was an environment where we should dare, where we should play, where we should try, because these were people who were going to make it as open of an experience as possible, where we weren't going to be judged, where we weren't going to be torn apart, and that the feedback that we were going to get was going to be both positive for the things that we were doing well, but also for the areas that we needed improvement, for things where we could get better, but it wasn't where we did things poorly or wrong, but just where we could improve. And Andrew really helped foster that, especially as he discussed some of the mistakes that he's made as an instructor, which that's something you'll need to ask him about sometime. And then there's Rico Zook, and I would say that he, of all the instructors, was the least refined. But I say that not that he wasn't a quality instructor, but more that he comes from a place of being a storyteller. Everything he shares with us came from a certain context, framed by the story in which he learned it or from which he wanted to share it. There was a reason why he was giving us this information. There was a place where it came from, and that was detailed for us. He shared with us this level of transparency into his life with every piece of information that he shared. And also because he's well-traveled, including internationally, he brought with him a knowledge of how to act and interact with multiple cultures while remaining effective, which was very useful for me because of some of the experiences that I'm having in an urban setting, where though we may share a language and a local region, our cultural communities are very different. And he gave me a lot of ideas of how to bridge that gap. And he was also the first teacher that I connected with, and also from who I learned my first lesson. And even though he was here as a guest instructor, I'm glad that he was there as it really rounded out the experience for me. All in all, in their own right, each and every one of these instructors are quality instructors, and I'd recommend that folks seek them out if they have further questions about permaculture, or I would recommend them if they were near you and offering some kind of a course. But together, they were even better. Given their differences, they really complemented one another very well. And it gave us a variety of instruction that also provided a variety of material for us to take home with us. And what I mean by that is that I wound up taking copious notes. I have something like 80 or more pages of material that I wrote down while I was in this class, not including the lists of books and articles to read, the movies to watch, the websites to go check out, or all the digital material that they gave us to bring home for review later. Now, with all that material that I brought home, that's a part of my notes, I don't want to get too much into the detail of what was covered, because that's Jude and Andrew and Rico's work, and I want to respect that. Rather, I'd like to highlight some of the nuts and bolts that I picked up that I feel will wind up making me a better instructor based on just the in-class material. And part of that comes from their transparency with us. The entire process of teaching, how you do all the work as an instructor, both generally speaking as someone who would be teaching adults, and also specifically as someone who would be teaching permaculture, they were very clear on everything that goes into that, from the most basic groundwork all the way through to building a full curriculum. And they were very open and honest about what works, what doesn't work, where they made mistakes, how to handle in-class issues, in some ways how to improvise and wing it if, you know, a piece of technology fails, but really also about how to be prepared for when those kinds of issues arise. So now I know how to manage the logistics of putting a class together, whether that's going to be a 15-minute presentation as part of a group at, say, a local library where we're just talking about sustainability and I'm invited to speak on permaculture, or whether it's putting on a full PDC or some kind of advanced permaculture topic. I now understand the details, such as arranging a venue, how to plan field trips, find guest instructors, take on an intern, assembling teaching materials, put together a curriculum, all these little things that really didn't make sense until they were put into the context of this course. Some of the big lessons that I learned were how to build a module or a lesson, whether it needs to be 5 minutes long or 5 hours, that the decisions that go into building the module are my own personal decisions. So I may wind up putting a module together that's really like a meta module that actually contains 4 smaller modules to fill a certain amount of time. And that goes along with now having the ability to deliver a more effective presentation that's modeled to my audience what their expectations and needs are, and also how to fill any time requirements, so that if I want to go talk on the ethics of permaculture, I can pare it down to a 5-minute speech, or if I need to, I can look at what knowledge and information I have and build it up to fill an hour or more. And that was a very useful portion of this class in learning that. And lastly, more specifically about permaculture, I now understand just how huge the PDC curriculum is and how much you leave out to get the 72-hour minimum, if that's what your course allows. It's immense. There's a lot of information that just doesn't get imparted on folks when they go through this. And honestly, I don't think there's a way to cram everything you could teach someone about permaculture in that time. Even doubling or quadrupling the time probably isn't enough. It's a lifelong study, but the PDC provides you with the basics. It's about learning how to think with permaculture rather than how to practice permaculture. And if you can think about the how of doing things, then you can actually go out and do them. And those are some of the big things that I learned that will help refine my teaching. It's not the tips, tricks, or details of the material, but some of the ones that I really liked from the class. Some of those big, overarching ideas. More importantly for me, though, I think, I also had several what we referred to in class as takeaway moments. These are little lessons that I learned along the way that add to my abilities in a more general fashion. And they take the form of little aphorisms that kind of encompass the underlying idea. The first of these is, don't pile on. And I bring that up here first because this is the first lesson that I learned in the class from Rico. And the idea behind it is that when we realize we made a mistake, we need to learn from it and move on. Too often, when we err in some way, we dwell on it and then start putting more and more and more crap on top of ourselves that brings us down and erodes our confidence. Most mistakes in our lives aren't that big of a deal and can easily be surmounted in a couple of minutes. Do that and move on. And yeah, here's a random reference for you, but there's a band called V&V Nation that I really like because they have uplifting lyrics a lot of times and explore all kinds of interesting themes, and musically is just very interesting. But the VNV in the band name stands for victory, not vengeance, that we should strive to achieve and not sit in bitter regret. And it, in my mind, meshes pretty well with this idea of don't pile on. And with that sense of achievement and continuing to strive is my next takeaway, which is confidence is a series of small successes. This was brought up by one of our fellow participants in the class, and really this course gave us the opportunity, multiple opportunities really, to have these small successes. And it left me feeling more confident about my ability to really teach this material to nearly any audience under any circumstances. In all, we wound up presenting 4 times formally, 2 of which were off the cuff with little to no preparation, 1 that we were supposed to prepare and bring to the class, which I think most of us wound up modifying anyway once we got there because of the things we had learned by the time we got around to presenting. And then, of course, our final presentation, which was a big group project where we each prepared our own individual modules, and then we had to integrate all that together into a final cohesive introduction to permaculture. In the end, though, I also wound up giving 2 more informal presentations as part of our after-hours evening work, which included a slideshow on the permaculture scene in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, based on some pictures I took during my permaculture design course internship in July, as well as another in which I was talking about setting up websites if you don't have one, and what to do if you already do. So there, in a matter of a week, I was able to give 6 presentations total, and it really got me feeling comfortable about my abilities. Little things adding up to big results. And that's why this entire profession of teaching is a process and not perfection. You need to put work into it, have your failures, and keep yourself dedicated to going back. If you fall off that bike, you just get up, get back on, and go again. And you continue to do it and refine it and find what's the right path for you, what isn't, and know that those people who make something look effortless have probably been practicing and doing this for thousands and thousands of hours because they kept getting up and doing it over and over and over again until the point where they were just that good that they could make it effortless. Jude made a comment to me at one point during the class that she spends anywhere from 1 to 19 hours working in a module for a class or presentation. And, you know, that may be just a couple of minutes or maybe an hour at most, but there's a lot of work that goes into these little pieces of information that we share. And imagine if you're taking 1 to 19 hours for a module, how many hours it takes to put together a PDC. I did a little back of the envelope calculation, and I figured if you're spending anywhere from, say, 1 to 19 hours, let's just say we average that out to 10 hours per hour of classroom instruction, that's 720 hours of preparation that goes into a 72-hour class. Whether that includes field trips, setting up a venue, doesn't matter. 720 hours is a third of a year working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So just think about that when you look at the price of a PDC and you're going, man, this is $1,000, $1,200, $1,500. That's a lot of money to go to. It's not really paying your instructor a whole lot of money when you can per hour, when you consider how much time that they put into it, they're not getting paid. Many of the folks out there are doing this because this is what they love, this is what they do. So taking a class with them helps pay them back a little bit, especially the more students who are in a class. And though there's that little aside about time, something else to consider is that even with all the work that people put into this, they're still going to make mistakes. They could tailor the material to the wrong audience, choose to include too much or too little, have some kind of a gaffe in the presentation, or just lose their narrative thread and just have to stop and reset, or need a couple of minutes to clear their head. If they're a good facilitator, they may be able to put something in there to give themselves some time to think while you're doing something else, but they're still making mistakes, and it can happen regardless of how much experience you have. But again, don't pile it on when it happens. Confidence comes from the successes that you have, and you're still going to need to remember that when you've been flying on with this material for years. And this is one of the reasons why Jude told us to keep cooking the curriculum. To be an effective teacher who can present in many environments, you need to be constantly adapting the material that you've developed to suit the needs of your audience and the environment you find yourself in. And this helps you to stay on your feet, continue to review, renew, and update and change what you have. And in that process, you're practicing this material, you're rereading it, you're retuning yourself to it, just as you're preparing it for the people who you're going to share it with. You can't write something up once and keep presenting it in the same way over and over again ad infinitum and expect to be good. As you evolve, so should your material. And those were my four major takeaways from this class, which leaves me with just a couple of questions that I'm sure are burning for some of you who have tuned into this episode expecting a more direct answer rather than just a description of my professors and some of the things that I've learned. One of those is probably, how was the food? Well, it was pretty amazing. As I said earlier, I'm on a restricted diet, and the cook was able to meet my needs comfortably, and I never went hungry. I never was concerned about having enough food. And it was nice because of the way that these meals were prepared and brought for us, because the dinner table wound up becoming a communal space where we ate dinner together as a group of 13, given the number of days we were there, fairly regularly. And if anyone from the class is out there listening, here's a big shout out to Maureen for being such an awesome chef. Thank you again, Maureen. You did a really great job, and I really appreciate all the hard work and effort you put into making sure that we all had that food and could feel comfortable and eat well. A little bit more seriously, was the class worth the cost? Yes. Early registration saved me a few dollars, but even without that, I would have paid more than the going price. I wound up paying $7.75 with a discount. I think it was $8.25 if you didn't get payment in early. And considering I got to go live there for a week, had all my meals prepared for me, and all that was asked of me was that I chip in and help clean up and pick up and keep the site fairly well maintained while people were downloading copious amounts of information into my brain, it was really cheap. I mean, local colleges are running $300 or more for a credit hour, and I think this teacher training was easily equal to 3 college credits, if not 4, or dare I say even 6. It was so intensive. We more or less lived this material while on site. It wasn't just being given to us or lectured to us. We were sitting there involved in the educational experience. It was a very active involvement. It wasn't passive, where someone was just lecturing at a board, facts and figures, and then asking us to read and take quizzes. We were as much a part of the course material as the material that the instructors gave to us. And it's probably the most information I've learned in a class, even more so than my permaculture design course. There are just certain things in this class that I don't think I could have ever gotten out of a book, and these instructors really brought it home, which I'm sure you can guess by now comes with the last question. Would I take this class again or recommend it to others? Yes, absolutely, without a doubt, I would recommend this class to others. Exactly as it was with Jude, Andrew, and Rico, it was an amazing class. They made this experience what it was and imparted so much knowledge on me that it will be, as I said, a long time before all of it's been processed. Already, I'm still working through those big details. That's probably going to take me another couple of weeks. And then on top of that, months before those teaching moments really set in and begin to make sense as I'm applying more and more of this material. And I wouldn't be surprised if I keep having those little aha moments for years to come from those little statements and sentences that are currently being overpowered by so many of these big ideas. I've just been left with more to work with from this class than any other educational experience I've had, and I'm going to be spending time with this happily probably for the rest of my life. And it's a testament to them, the course material, and the other participants that I've left it so transformed. And honestly, I'd really like to have some class reunions in the future where everybody can get together, share what we've learned since then, kind of as a mini course round robin, how we're integrating that information, what it's working to change in our lives, and just to check in with these folks. It was a really good experience, and I look forward to being in touch with them again. And sometime I also hope to visit a future teacher training that Jude and Andrew are giving, either as a participant again or a guest, to see how the teachers and materials have grown, developed, and blossomed further. And though I don't know that I'll catch Rico in a course again because of his international travels, I'm going to keep an eye open for him and see if he shows up again somewhere where I can go and spend some time with him. I was thankful that he was there and could spend his time with us. If you'd like some more information about each of these instructors, you can visit their websites. You'll find Jude Hobbs at CascadiaPermaculture.com. Andrew Millison at Beaver State Permaculture, and Rico's current home is ricoclime.com, ricoclime.com, though I believe that may be changing to i-permaculture in the future, but for now, you'll find him at RicoClime. In the end, I was probably the least experienced teacher there, by far. Most of my experience has been just teaching my small children and being a father, compared to several of my fellow participants who are school teachers and college professors. But because of the open environment that we were given, it meant that I had a place to contribute and where all the information that we shared was valued. As it's all said and done, I realized because of this that I have a niche to fill in the permaculture community, and this course left me better prepared to do just that. While this information is fresh, the next full episode is going to be on travel tips. If you want to go take a residential class that's based on what I learned from my experiences going to this one and some of the stories told by others, that'll be out here in a couple of days. In the meantime, if you have any questions, send me an email, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. Until then, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.